Everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of Data Exposed. We have a special show for you today because we have two Germans and a Porto cheese with us today. So, gentlemen, before we get started, why don't you introduce yourself? We'll start with you.
Okay, my name is Olaf Engels. I'm from Germany. I'm not a Porto cheese. And we are a Microsoft partner, and we are the leader of the German SQL Server community.
Perfect.
My name is Tilman. I'm also from Germany and not from Porto cheese. And
That is. You work for the same company.
We work all for the same company.
Yeah, look at the green shirts.
The beautiful green shirts. I'm a Portuguese. I'm not German. My name is Nico Neugebauer. I'm leading the local Portuguese SQL Server community.
So you guys are belong to PaaS, and you're all SQL Server
totally.
People.
Awesome. We are part of the SQL family.
SQL family. Okay. So, gentlemen, thank you for coming. It's an honor, it's a pleasure to have you here. So you guys have been working on something really interesting for the last, 6 months, 12 months, longer?
Oh, let's say 12 months.
12 months, okay, make it sound more professional. Yeah. Okay, 12 months. So what is this that you guys have been working on?
Okay, so what we thought of is that on the one side, we have our really lovely, famous integration services, which is an on-prem, let's say, ETL tool, system, workflow tool, whatever you name it and whatever you use it for. And on the other side, we have HD Insight, we have Hadoop, we have the cloud. Mm-hmm. And what we thought of is that if you have a customer or your company and you have your normal ETL processes on-prem, you would like maybe to incorporate that and synchronize that with some kind of jobs you want to do in the cloud because you have more scalability, velocity, whatever you name it.
The benefits of the cloud.
The benefits of the cloud. But you want to control that from on-prem. So you don't want to do something special in the cloud, something which is outside your normal process, like, for example, loading a data warehouse or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And think of a process which controls the cloud.
Okay.
So start a cluster, do some really cool stuff, and then close it down because of the costs. And then run it through your whole normal ETL processes on-prem. And that's what we developed. And I think Tilman can tell you a little bit more about it.
Yeah, so we built, I think at the moment, 10 different components for the integration services to completely work with your HD Insight cluster. So we can start with HD Insight cluster, we can delete it. We have components for Scoop, for Hive, Pig, and all these different things which are already exist in HD Insight.
So this is kind of really interesting because if I understand, so you built SSIS tasks to do a lot of the things that Hadoop and HD Insight would normally do. So you're sort of extrapolating and saying, okay, as a developer, I know SSIS, but I don't know Hive or Scoop or things like that, so I'm going to use these tools.
Exactly.
So I don't have to learn these other technologies.
We also see it is one of the first steps to migrate to the cloud. It enables to run a hybrid solution while having your on-premise installations, having your own data warehouse, for example, on your installations, but you want to take the first step into the cloud, take the advantage of some of the advanced services that Microsoft offers right now in Azure.
Perfect, and that makes total sense because now you're saying, okay, great, I have this environment on-prem, but I want the benefits of high-scale compute.
Exactly.
Right.
I don't want to buy 50 servers, but I want to do something really, really, really a big processing in the cloud. Big data processing.
Yep.
So I can fire up a number of clusters, I can do the job, I can put it down. This way, we keep the costs low, right?
Yep, perfect. And so you have, how many tasks did you create? And is this, how many tasks did you actually create for this?
10 tasks at the
moment. 10 tasks? And so they do things like, you said, Scoop and Hive and things like that.
So we have, we start in our demo with a task which creates a storage container. Then we can create our HD Insight cluster. We have a task for DocumentDB. JSON queries stored as JSON file on-prem.
Okay.
And then we can upload this file back to the HD Insight cluster or to HDFS. With a special task, we can offload our Azure SQL database, which is Scoop.
Yep.
And run MapReduce jobs, Hive.
Perfect. So let's take a look at this. And let's look at a demo and just kind of see what you guys have been working on. And then from there, we can kind of ask, you know, more detailed questions.
Yeah, so this is our demo. So I think, Oliver, you can a little bit explain more the
business case.
The demo, okay, the case, and this is just a sample. It's just the idea of giving people a kind of roadmap to what we are thinking of. And there are several other solutions to it and possibilities you can do with that. So the first thing we had in our mind is, if you maybe, let's say you have Twitter feed, for example, and you have the nice stream analytics or stream insight, and you pump the data into DocumentDB, mm-hmm. for example, like all the JSON documents, of course, you pump them into DocumentDB. And on the other side, maybe you have some stuff in your SQL Azure database. You leverage a web service, do a sentiment analysis on it, and then you put all the stuff in SQL Azure.
Sure.
And then you want to run some kind of complex processing on it. You want to run some MapReduce jobs on it. So what happens here is that we have the functionality to upload data into the cloud very fast. Yeah, so it's really concurrent upload things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this kind of bottleneck we tried to solve a little bit, and then from there on you can create your HD Insight cluster. And the interesting thing is you can define how you size your HD Insight cluster based on the expressions out of integration service. So everybody who works with integration service and knows how to do it dynamic. Yeah, he can or she can set up the same thing with these kind of components. Maybe you can.
You could actually have a task to actually spin up the HD Insight cluster.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah.
Correct. So this is the HD Insight cluster task where you just create or you define your cluster name, you define subscription IDs, the certificates, and username and the storage account and all these things, and then we have different properties here so that you can. Add more storage accounts to your HD Insight cluster. Later on, you can define the metastore for the HD Insight cluster. So all these things you can do normally with PowerShell or with the .NET SDK. Mm-hmm. You can do with a component, and this is much more as you can do at the moment during the portal.
Okay.
So the portal has not these complete functions with the storage account or the metastore at the moment.
Okay, so this is a little more robust than what you find in the.
Yeah, you can be more. Detailed, more precise in the way how you set up the stuff. So
okay.
Normally the things you do with PowerShell, and of course there are a lot of geeks outside who can do PowerShell par excellence,
yep.
But there are also people like myself, for example, who like to do it through a GUI.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'm not a PowerShell guru, so okay. I like the GUI.
Okay.
So I really like this Goop task because the Scoop task has the standard properties to work with Azure DB,
okay.
So with Azure SQL Server. But you have also the possibility to use with custom properties the complete Scoop property. So you can define different compression codecs. You can also use other connections like MySQL, Postgres, and Oracle, right. And so on. And everything with Scoop can work with, you can change. Change it here.
Okay. So everything that the SDK offers to work with Scoop, we have implemented this as properties in this kind of task,
mm-hmm.
So you can leverage that.
Correct.
And if there will be some more stuff which will be offered through the SDK, of course we will develop that as well into the.
Oh, perfect.
Yes. And
okay.
If it's not in there at the moment, you can change the Scoop command by yourself here.
Oh, yeah. Really? Okay.
Yeah, that's a cool feature because
I love that.
Yeah, because you have the possibility to really, if you are the expert, you can just. Take
go
on that
and tune whatever you want.
And exactly, you can do whatever you like there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the
wow.
advanced version
okay.
of it.
Yeah, so I actually want to write code in that case, right? I don't want to have to, no GUI, let me write code.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
But it's the biggest advantage of the integration services, it's awesome GUI and accessibility and the hundreds of thousands of professionals who know it.
Mm-hmm.
We can start, if I am starting for the first time playing with the HD Insight, and I don't know how to do. Where do I start? Where do I read all the documentation?
Mm.
You can start with some of the basic tasks just in a matter of minutes by using these components.
Mm-hmm. So it allows you to get started very quickly.
And efficiently.
Efficiently, yeah. So yep. I don't have to learn all these new technologies. I know SSIS, I know integration services. Let me get so I can get up and running much faster.
Yeah. Much more efficient. That's one of the intentions, but the main intention is really that you have the idea of controlling the whole stuff through on-premise. So you don't have to, of course you can write PowerShell scripts and so on, but the intention is really to put that in your normal processes. So let's say you have other processes from your on-premise data and you load, let's say, any other stuff. And we have, for example, another sample in this control flow that loads data from somehow Google Analytics, because we also build a Google Analytics component where you get some kind of web data. Mm-hmm. And now you can combine that totally in this ETL process. So you can do stuff. On the one side, it's easier for people using it, yeah, because they don't have to know the SDK and so on. But on the other side, it's really the point that we want to leverage controlling a service in the cloud with stuff you do on-prem.
Right, yeah? Okay.
So that's the main point. And we have another sample here where we, for example, we have a Google Analytics data source, which we take Google Analytics streaming data, or you can take data from an ERP system, from Microsoft CRM or something like that, which you have on-prem, and then you put that all together with the results you get maybe from your HD Insight, or you pump data to your HD Insight cluster for any kind of MapReduce jobs with data from on-prem. So you combine both worlds and you just use the best of it. Yeah. So velocity of the cloud and all the control you have with integrations, of all the knowledge you have on integration.
Okay, sites. Perfect. So kind of a quick question here. So I'm going to, this will be running on-prem, mm-hmm. right? Is it, and you said from a scale perspective, do I have, how much data do I actually, if I'm pulling data from Google Analytics, so I guess it really doesn't matter. So if I pull data from Google Analytics CRM, I'm going to take that, then pipe that into Azure, mm-hmm. right?
Wherever you want.
Can I guess the where I'm going with this question is, can I then run this maybe in an Azure VM? So I don't have data going across the pipe, for example, or
of course. As you can use integration service in a VM in Azure, of course you can do that.
Okay, yeah.
We are also excited about the recent announcement of the data factory that Microsoft has made.
Yes,
we already kind of internally discuss it. That is, we are trying to take a look what it is, what it can offer. Maybe in the future there will be some components for the data factory that we will provide. Yeah. But data factory is the principal difference, as we see at the moment, is that on the data factory you run it in the cloud. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people, I believe it's still, you know, some trust issues, some legal issues. You can still run on the premise, as Oliver already mentioned, and you have the total control of what is going outside of your company.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Exactly. Okay, perfect.
And maybe one of the things which is important here is this will be published on Codeplex. So it's not something you have to pay for, it's something community driven.
So you make this open source?
Absolutely.
Wow, okay. Right. Very nice.
There will be a professional version as well, but the first thing is that we really want to give this to the community.
Get this out into the masses.
Exactly,
right.
and have people giving us feedback, what they think about it, and what kind of bugs we have in there still.
Bugs?
Do we have bugs in there?
No.
We have elephants and something like that.
Yeah, but no bugs.
No bugs,
exactly. Yeah.
So this also does, do you have an example of like is it a Hive task or?
Yes, we also have a Hive task here. It's a really simple task. So there's not a complete Hive query inside at the moment in our demo. But just a simple task where you say, okay, you define the job, the status folder, the HD Insight cluster. Mm-hmm. We are using SSES Connection Manager for that, and then you can define your
Hive query. Is. Yep. Yeah,
what
okay, perfect.
Is. And the same for PIC. It's the same user interface for PIC here, but just a Hive query of PIC latent
for
that.
So you really cover the gamut with all the tasks, right? Scoop, Hive, PIG, things like that. Awesome. Can you do a MapReduce type of thing here? Or
yes, we have also a MapReduce job, but at the moment the MapReduce job...
There's a relevant, by the way.
Yes. The MapReduce jobs at the moment only works with C# MapReduce jobs.
Okay.
So the one and only language.
Yeah.
That's right. True.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
So there are some functionalities inside the .NET API to say that you like to use C# or EXE files at the moment.
Okay.
Hard-coded at the moment inside the component.
Okay. But this is where your feedback is going to be.
Yeah. That's the place for improvements, you know? Yeah. It's open source.
But right. I don't think that most of SSES guys like to write their jobs in Java or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Yeah, perfect. So
we take another Java.
So here you can also define your cluster, the account, the container, and all these different things.
Well, this is really interesting because, like Nico, you were saying, I think this really, and Oliver, like you were saying, this really brings the power of data processing, you know, being able to have more control on on premises, but still take advantage of, hey, I don't have to go figure out how to write a scoop, or high or things like that, right?
It's a very easy. We believe that it's a very good and easy start for the people who are using SSIS on a daily basis.
Okay,
and you don't have to. And let's put it an advanced example of what you can do, but you don't have to use all of these tasks.
Sure.
You can start leveraging, for example, with the DocumentDB.
Correct.
If you are, I mean, this is the only offering and a very high-speed offering from Microsoft for the JSON files.
Yep.
If you want to put some of your data into the cloud, into the JSON, start using the DocumentDB sources.
Yes. Yeah. Perfect.
So this is DocumentDB source, and the idea here was that on our hackathon in Germany, we had the problem that each tweet is one JSON file.
Yeah.
And our friend Sasha told us that it's not so good for
Azure MVP from Germany.
Germany.
That for HG Insight, it's not so good to work with so many small files.
Sure.
So we moved the Twitter example that all the Twitter the tweets will directly stored into the DocumentDB, and then with SSIS we try to load the tweets daily or something
sure.
like that.
So yeah, bigger chunks.
Yep.
One big file, one big JSON file, and then you can upload this JSON file to your Azure Blob Storage.
Okay.
And you have the full control with SSIS on that.
Yeah.
So you can really control what kind of chunks you are using, and this is completely dynamic for what you want to do.
Yeah.
And that's a real powerful tool.
Yeah.
And especially in this example of Twitter, you have the data already in the cloud. So you're taking it out of the cloud, you put it in some trusted source, such as DocumentDB, and then you can download it, put it on premise, you can process it then with MapReduce or whatever task you want to do.
Sure. Okay. So I guess the follow-up question is, is this already on CodePlex as is, or what's the status of this awesome...
What's the status, Mr. Developer?
no pressure.
So at the moment, it's just an alpha version, which we are using internally on the MVP showcase.
It's our internal preview.
Yeah, internal preview. On the MVP showcase, we showed it to some other MVPs. They like to test it in the next month.
Okay.
And we hope that we will release it on CodePlex as a beta version, I think, in January.
January? Perfect.
Yeah.
So at that point, users can start looking and providing feedback. And through the CodePlex page, you'll contact information to be able to provide information.
But it would be extremely exciting if some of the viewers, just seeing and hearing us, our thoughts would give us some feedback.
Yeah.
If they think it is useful, which functionality they would think would be very useful for them and for the other people.
Okay.
We'll be happy to hear it.
Yeah. So what we'll do is we'll put on the Data Exposed show page some contact information they can provide, feedback and things like that,
and
we can make it available to you guys. So this is really interesting, and I think people will get some absolute value out of this, right? So it'll be interesting to see what kind of feedback our viewers provide. So awesome. Well, gentlemen, thank you for coming. This has it's been an absolute pleasure having you.
Thank you so much,
Scott. We got the international salad here.
Grüße nach Deutschland.
So anyway, thanks for coming. Everybody, thanks for watching.
Thank you, guys.
See you next time.